walk.
And the church said,
amen.
It's an altar. Let it walk, preacher. Let it walk. Then he got a little more and he said, if we're going to be great, we're going to have to throw everything else off and we're going to have to run. And they said, let it run, preacher. Let it run. Now he's in a rhythm and they're shouting and he's going and he says, and if we are going to go to the top, we're going to have to get some wings and we're going to fly. And they stand and they said, let it fly, preacher, let it fly. And then he said, and if we're going to fly, it's going to cost some money. And they sat down and said, let it walk, pastor, let it walk. old story. We're looking at the great promises of the Bible for a few weeks here, first 6 weeks of the year. And the one I chose is one of the most powerful promises in all of the Bible. You all know it by heart. Bible verse you memorize, Malachi chapter 3, verse 10. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, and if you do, I will open the windows of heaven and pour out such a blessing that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And you've all grown up with this idea. Here's the promise. He'll open up the windows and he'll protect your crops. And when the disaster goes to all the others, yours will be protected because we have the promise. I was going to the Philippines so often for a while that I became elite with Philippine Airlines, which meant that I could go into the lounge and have special food and free and internet and all of that. And then one time in my life, they put me into business class. Have you been in business class? I had no idea. Here's big wide seats, and they brought me orange juice, and then more, and then a white tablecloth, and magazines, and newspapers. I said, this is the way it should always be. I deserve this. 10 years ago, one time, somehow, the windows have been shut on me ever since. You go to a basketball game. We went to my family a couple of weeks ago. We're in the back row at Staples Center. Then you look down at all those luxury suites. We are the tithe payers. We should be in the luxury suite. They should be up in the top row. See? It should be us in the limos. Should be us in the Beverly Hills. Should be us on the red carpet of the Golden Globes. Where is the blessing, God? Open the windows of heaven. Pour out a blessing so much that you cannot receive it. Somebody took me to the LA Auto Show. Incredible. I had no idea. I just had no idea about cars like this. They call it rolling art. It's just gorgeous. All these 250, 500,000, million dollar cars, Ferraris and Bugattis and all the rest. Wow. Wow. And then I've said so much about it. They gave me a coffee table book of pictures of all those cars. And then they moved away up to Idaho, and before they left, they came to my house, and they gave me a model car. I appreciate the model car. This is not opening up the windows and pouring out a blessing. Pictures and a model car does not count. Where is my car? I pay tithe. I pay tithe on the gross. I pay everything, whatever is going on. Some kid, Kyle came to me. Pastor Dan, can you? Yes, I'll pay, support you, whatever. Fundraiser, walkathons, bike-a-thon, Pathfinder, fundraisers. I pay for everything. Where's my car? Oprah stands up in front of a couple hundred people and says, if you're here today, you get a car, you get a car, you get a car. Oprah has more money than God? Where's my car? I get a model car. Where's the blessing? 9/11. 3,000 people died, but somehow were on top floor, and then they remembered they'd forgotten their camera, went back to the hotel and looked out the window. People missed the flights that crashed. And they said, because of the blessing and protection of God from Malachi 3. What about my father? My father paid tithe all his life. Vegetarian, missionary, pastor. Left the movies in order to be a pastor. Where was the blessing? Where was the blessing? Shouldn't it be like this? All disasters should skip the Christians. It can rain on everyone else, but not on us. Smog will be everywhere, except we will breathe fresh air all the time. See? Shouldn't it be like that? And when the stock market crashes, our stocks go up. And the grass in my yard will never grow. Never have to mow it. The paint will never fade. No one will get any wrinkles. There'll be no more cancer. There'll be no more disasters. And the Dodgers and the Angels and the Lakers and the Clippers and the Rams and the Chargers will all win all their games. Amen? No amen? Because that's what it promises. Is that if we will just pay a faithful tithe and offering, he will open up the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing so much that you cannot receive it. That's what it says they will do. I could receive more. Could you? So let's go. Sometimes this is called the prosperity gospel. Faith and prosperity. And there's a group of preachers that are called faith and prosperity preachers, most of them on television. And you've heard it. Name it and claim it. Confess it and possess it. That God has no desire for everyone in his family to be poor. He wants them to be rich and well and to flourish in life. And that Jesus died to take care of the curse, and we should not be under the demands of the curse anymore. And that God wants us to be abundant life and to live a flourishing life before the world. And so we have, there was another generation years ago, and now there's Joel Osteen and T.D. Jakes. And they pastor huge churches of people who want to hear the faith and prosperity gospel. And they have famous texts. I can't bring them all to you, but I'll do a few of them here quickly. One of my favorites, of course, is John chapter 10, verse 10. Thieves come to steal, to destroy, and take life. I came to give you life, and life more abundantly. But of course, if you read the context, that's Jesus is a good shepherd. And the abundant life is having Jesus as your shepherd. That's the context. Number two is James chapter 4, verse 2. You do not have, because you do not ask God. So the reason you're not rich and overflowing with this blessing is because you don't pray hard enough with enough faith. If you did, it would come to you. And a very interesting preacher named Crelo Dollar. How about that name for a prosperity preacher? When we pray believing that we have already received what we are praying, God has no choice but to make our prayers come to pass. Mark chapter 10, 29 and 30. No one who has lost anything for my sake will fail to receive 100 times as much here and now in this life. So Gloria Copeland, or she and her husband are famous prosperity preachers, have just said, which means that if you give $10, you'll get back $1,000. You give $1,000, you'll get $100,000. There's a Matthew, Mark 10 is a very good deal for you. Faith and prosperity gospel. I could give you many more. I'll do one more. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9. Though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so you might become rich. So Jesus died so that you could become rich. That's what it says. Most preachers would say that's rich in salvation, but not money. Well, those are the faith and prosperity texts, and there's more. But there's also, what about John the Baptist? Beheaded. What about my father? What about the 6 million Jews, who I'm sure many of them paid tithe in the camps in World War II? What about the giants of faith in Hebrews chapter 11? The best of the best. It says they were tortured and whipped and chained in prisons and wandering across deserts and mountains and having to live in caves and in holes in the ground. These are the giants of faith. They are the ones. Why shouldn't they have prosperity? So there's these two sides of these texts. Would you all agree that God has blessed you for paying tithes? Amen for that? Yes. We could all tell stories. I have walked out of a house with a check for $100,000 for the church. Someone gave me. I came out the door of church January, New Year's Day, one Sabbath years ago. A lady said, I just sold a house. Where would you like the money to go? She walked me out to the car and wrote me checks for $30,000. Built three churches around the world. I have done a funeral and have someone walk up to me and say, Pastor Dan, I just sold the building. I've got some extra money. With $10,000, where could you use $10,000? There have been times when Hilda wasn't working much, we were so stuck. We couldn't do anything. We couldn't breathe. Stuff was broken. And someone will give us $100 or $1,000 came in the mail. An aunt, a wealthy Dutch aunt, all of a sudden decided to give $5,000 to every one of the nieces. And here it was in our mailbox. Okay, thank you very much. And we could all tell stories where things lasted longer, or God made you a deal, or someone fixed something that you thought was broken, and money came out of nowhere because we pay tithe. We would all tell those stories. Amen? Tithing will bless you. So what should we do with all of this? Can we say some things? Does God want you to have an abundant life? Yes. Will having faith be better than not having faith in your life? Will you be more likely to accomplish more in life if you have faith rather than you're always negative and always assuming the worst? Yes, you will. Is it true that sometimes you don't have because you don't ask and you don't pray and you don't stretch for something? Yes, it is. And can we all agree that all these blessings are ultimately going to come true in heaven? Every one of these fantastic blessings, we're going to walk through the gates of heaven and the windows of heaven will open and pour out a blessing and we will never want anything and we will have exactly what we want and all the promises will come true. So we know in heaven they will all be fulfilled. The question is, what about right here? Will the windows of heaven be open so much that we cannot receive it? There was a young king, 2 Chronicles chapter 25, named Amaziah. Says he was a good king, but he was not wholehearted for God. He is surrounded by the Edomites, and he is scared to death. He counts all his soldiers, and he finds 300,000 soldiers. It's not enough. They have more. And so he goes to Israel, and he hires for 100 talents of silver, 100,000 soldiers. They're hired guns. They're not with him. They don't believe in his cause. They are just hired. And the prophet of God comes to him and says, this is wrong. You cannot do this. They cannot march with you. God cannot bless people like this. And the king says, but what about my 100 talents of silver? And the prophet gives one of the great verses of the Bible. The Lord can give you much more than that. The Lord can give you much more than that. You don't have to worry. Why are we afraid to give to God? Full tithes and offerings, because we're afraid. Afraid we won't have enough when we get old. Afraid other people will have more than we have. They will have things that we don't have. And so we go and we buy a few foreign soldiers. We don't want to give the money to God, trust God. We go and hire some foreign people and say, okay. And God says, can't bless that. We're afraid. We forget how God has blessed us in the past. Me too. Happens to me. We're afraid that God is too busy. He's got a whole universe to run. He's got thousands of people to answer all their prayers. He's busy taking care of all the big people and all the giants and Billy Graham and Mother Teresa. Probably he's not going to take care of me. I better take care of myself and keep this money and go buy a few soldiers to take care of ourselves. And God says, no, the Lord can give you much more than that. So where is the blessing? Your giving is tied to your picture of God. Does God have more? Does he have more? Can he give you more? Will he open the windows of heaven and pour it out? Or do we have to take care of ourselves? If we give tithe and offerings, will he make it up to us? That's the question. We know that God is not going to make us rich. We've all figured that out by now. Probably if you get baptized, there's not going to be a red Ferrari in your driveway when you get home. If you pay tithe, there's not going to be a lottery person bring you a check for $1 million or more. Just because you eat a particular diet does not mean you will for sure never be sick and live to be 125. Probably not. It's going to be like that. There was an old lady in England, in London, living in a little crummy little room by herself. Charles Spurgeon, the great pastor, went to see her. It was dim and it was dark, and she's not going to live much longer. He looks around the room, and there's a plaque on the wall, a letter with a frame, and he reads it. And he says, "Lottie, what is this?" "Oh, that's a letter that's from my boss that I worked for all those years. I was his servant. It's all I have from him." She says, "Lottie, do you know what says here?" She couldn't read. He says, "I got to take the—" "No, you can't." "No, I got to go to the bank." He went to the bank. He said to the bank manager, "What is this?" It was the will and trust from that old man, a rich man who had left, I think, £6 million for that little old lady. But she couldn't read it, and she's living in a little room, and it's on the wall. And she became a rich, rich lady. And God says, "I'll open up the windows of heaven, and I want to say, where is my letter on the wall? Where's my letter, God?" I had a guy call me one time. He said, "Oh, your name Dan Smith?" "Yes." "So-and-so, somebody has died, and we think he has left you some money. Do you live?" "No, I didn't live there." There's more than one Dan Smith in the world. My brother, I forget, we were growing up, teenagers maybe, and came his birthday in March, and one of our aunts gave him a card. He opened up the card, took the card out, read the message, and then he looked in the envelope. And the aunt had to say, "No, there's no money, David." There was no check. There was no cash. And some of us feel that way with God. "God, you said if we pay tithe, you would open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing so much that your hand opens it. Where is my blessing, God? Where is the blessing?" So I'm going to give you five places where I think the blessing comes. If you want to jot some down or pick a piece of paper somewhere, I will try to do the best I can to put a little spin on this text. Pour out a blessing so much that you cannot receive it. Number one, the blessing is in the giving itself. To use the fancy words, the blessings are intrinsic and not extrinsic. This is not a deal you make like an investment. You give, God will do this. The blessing is in the giving. The blessing is when you can build a church in 9 days and all of a sudden you go and see, here's the church. The blessing, you wait till you see Earl McCubery's pictures of a church that we built 2 years ago that we killed ourselves to build, and he just preached in that church a couple weeks ago. I got a picture of it. That's a blessing. I don't need a mansion on the beach. That's a blessing all by itself. There's a picture of the X-ray machine healing people in India. The water is filter is working in India. All those kids now have doors on their restrooms. They have mattresses on their beds. I got a letter this week. They are putting the water system for the second and third floors. It's all good. The blessing is in new giving it and making a difference for them. Amen? And I write a check and I send a little money over to Orangewood. And then all of a sudden I get to baptize a boy who went to Orangewood. I have a part of that, and you put money into our church. You have a part in Kyle being baptized today. Amen? Is that a blessing? Is Melissa here? Where is Melissa? I don't see her. Melissa Briseño brought a young Vietnamese girl to our office a few months ago. Troubled girl, crying and issues and stuff. And she and I did the best we could together to tag team to try to bring her to Christ. And she's been coming to church, first service, second service, all the rest. Started Bible studies with he and another girl, and they will both be baptized next Sabbath. She is a fantastic young woman. If you get a chance to know her, we'll show you pictures and welcome her in church next Sabbath. Do you think Melissa needs to have a plaque? "Melissa, thank you very much. Here's a plaque for you. We got to give her an award, give her some flowers." No, the blessing was in the giving itself. It will be a blessing to see her be baptized next week and to see her walk into the gates of heaven someday. The blessing is in the gift itself. Amen? That's the blessing. Number two, the blessing is in the replenishing. When you give, then God can do miracles to give it back to you so you can give again. Like the jars of oil in the Bible, If you just keep the jars, then there's no miracle. But if you empty out the jars and give it away, then God does a miracle. And you get to see God do a miracle over and over again. I love it. But if you hold on to your assets and say, I better hold on to what I have. I don't know. Then you see no miracles because you have it yourself. You don't have to need a miracle because you've got it. Number three, the blessing is in the whispers. When you give to God, it opens up your soul and your brain and your spiritual soul to listen to the whispers of God. And God whispers to you to save some money. God whispers to you how to find good deals in your life so that you can save money. God whispers to you to find people in your friendship circle who will help you solve a problem without having to pay into the community to do it. God whispers to you to find a good financial advisor who will tell you where to invest at the beginning of your life so that over time, compound interest will help you be okay. God whispers to you, and giving puts you in a channel, and God pours out the windows of heaven and pours out a blessing. And at the end of your life, you're able to make a difference all over the world. God whispers to you that you don't need to go to the mall to buy some more junk to put into the garage that will be in a garage sale someday in order to feel better about yourself. And you have that money still in your pocket, and you can do something for God. And then when you get old and you know that you have enough, and you will say, look what God did, and God blessed me. He didn't do all kinds of crazy miracles. You didn't win a lottery. But you have enough because God whispered to you along the way. Number four, the blessing is of being a part of being something big. You're not just buying more junk that'll go into a garage sale someday. You know that when you are giving to something that'll make a difference all over the world. You're helping Orangewood. You're helping kids grow to God. You're helping mission trips all over the world. You're making something big that's going to matter. There's a blessing in that. Say, I'm a part of that. I love it. I can't go all over the world, but I get to be a part of something. I was driving in the rain Thursday night after a Bible study with a couple, and it was pouring hard, 8:39, and I got down there by Santa Ana River, and here I watched a guy, obviously homeless with his bicycle, pulling a little trailer of stuff behind him, pouring rain. I've been down there. We've done ministry down there. I know what it's like, little ramshackle tents and plastic bags and whatnot. And I wondered, what is he going to crawl into tonight? Out of all this rain, soaking wet, will he crawl into something that's okay, will keep him dry? Or should we get a bunch of tents and go down there and help these people? And when you do that, I went down with the Vietnamese group. When you put money into a mission trip, when you help a kid like Kyle, when you do something that does something bigger than yourself, you do not need a plaque, you don't need a mansion, you don't need any other. The blessing is in itself. You know that God has just blessed you to have this experience. There was an old man in Northern California years ago. He was 65 when he became an Adventist. And he felt that God had called him to go to China. He wrote a letter to the General Conference, which was in Battle Creek back then. And he said, I want to go to China. And they wrote back and said, you are too old. Just find some small island somewhere. Do something for God. So then he thought, Hong Kong is an island. I'm going to go to Hong Kong. He went down in San Francisco. And he found a ship captain who was willing to let him be the ship's cook for a free trip to Hong Kong. He got off the boat in Hong Kong, Abram LaRue, the first Adventist human being to that whole side of the world, the first missionary to Asia, 100 years before my parents went. You think what that would be like. You don't know the language. You're 65 years old. You have nobody sending you any money. You're on your own. Began to print some books and sold some books to a couple British sailors. Those two British sailors went home. They got married. They adopted a daughter. That family, made by Murdochs, are the ones who started the Mountain View College in the Philippines. I have preached to 2,500 kids out doing evangelism all over. We have Filipinos who are here from Mountain View College. Because a man at 65 years old said, let me go do something for God. And God said, the Lord can give you much more than that. He got a box of books together, went down to the boat, and he said, a boat was going to Palau, where the islands are. He said, give this to somebody. Who should I give it to? Just give it to some person in the community. No address, no name. Gave it to some family in the community. They read the books, began to keep the Sabbath. A Japanese who was there in town came by. They heard about it. Said, we know some other crazy people in Japan who are keeping Saturday Sabbath also. What's their name? Armstrong. And so the family in Palau wrote a letter, addressed it to Armstrong, Tokyo, Japan. And it got to the Armstrongs in Japan. And the Armstrongs got on a boat and went down to Palau and found these people keeping the Sabbath and baptized them and helped them build a church, build a school. That was the beginning of our work in Palau, because one old man sent a box of books. And God says, I will open up the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing. Abram LaRue is buried under a grave somewhere over there. Just an old man. Most of you never even heard of him. First missionary to Asia. But someday he's going to wake up in the gates of heaven, and there's going to be a million, millions of people walk through the gates from Asia because Abram LaRue went. Amen? He did not need to win the lottery. He did not have to have a mansion on the beach. He did not have any other blessings. The blessing was there. And the blessing will be there on the day when he knows that his two books and that box of books and what he did started a movement. And he will say, thank you. When the gates of heaven open up and pour out a blessing so much that he cannot receive it. I just encourage you at the beginning of this year. I don't know what your history has been in giving to God. We as pastors will never know whether you give or don't. It doesn't matter to us. But I encourage you to take this promise and says, if you'll just do this, test me, I will open up the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing so much that you can't receive it. See what God will do and wait for the blessing that will come to you. Amen. God bless you all.